I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. Oftentimes, the way these messages from animals come into my world is through an intuitive ping, if you will. Think of like a radar ping if you're in a submarine. That's coming my way through certainly a non-coincidence and usually via social media. You know, like the oft-mentioned links to the natural world stories and reports in the New York Times. Y'all know that that's a favorite of mine. And sometimes on Facebook, and there's a part of me that recognizes that, yes, whenever I click on Facebook or perhaps on another app, pings that app's algorithm, then that app gives me more of that. And you know, I often wonder what other people's Facebook pages and or feed looks like. Do y'all wonder the same? Of course, I'd rather stay away from that which doesn't resonate with me. And still with some new pages I've liked recently or in the past, I found that other Facebook connections of mine have liked them at some point in the past. And that brings to mind, what's that saying, birds of a feather? And so it was with a Facebook post from another page about the fantastical ability of starling to mimic the sounds of humans. Not a stretch for them, I'm being told. The reason why we'll get to in just a minute. As well as to mimic the vocalizations of other birds, to include hawk and red-tailed hawk specifically, just to name a few. I've always been fascinated by the murmurations of starling, the hypnotic way that they move together as a flock, and I'll pin a link to a video in the podcast notes that is just so very cool to watch, as opposed to the normally still photos, I think, that we see of murmurations. To observe how they ebb and flow together, bunch up for a few seconds, and then fan out again. It's definitely like an ASMR video to me, quite hypnotic and soothing. Then again, I'll watch anything in nature for a very long time and never tire of the energy which resonates so deeply. We'll add into their amazing ability to imitate other earthlings their somewhat dubious, at least by human measurements, existence on the planet, to the point that the European starling in particular is considered an invasive species in the U.S. And an invasive species, by definition, being a species that's taken up residence in a place on the planet where it doesn't naturally occur to the detriment of all the other species already in place in said location. Which, of course, in turn, think tropic cascade, impacts the ever so delicate and yet seemingly, at least to humans, indestructible nature of nature herself. And just like every good rubber band out there knows, stretch me too far past my elastic appearing capabilities and you are sure to experience a quite painful snap, the likes of which you'll ask yourself at the end, well, how the heck did that just happen? The starling, my friends, came to the U.S. in 1890, courtesy of a, so the story goes, fan of Shakespeare, where 80 or so birds were let loose in New York's Central Park, as well-meaning as they might have once been, meaning both the birds and the Shakespearean enthusiasts likely, so that the humans in this area could enjoy the starlings as they do over in Europe. Quoting from a 2021 article in Forbes about starlings, quote, they arrived in North America after a small group was imported in 1890 and again in 1891, the plot thickens, by a wealthy and misguided New York drug manufacturer, Eugene Schieffelin, who released them into New York City's Central Park. The simple, inexplicable act of environmental vandalism unleashed a tsunami of the glossy purple-black songbirds that swept across the continent. Along the way, their numbers increased from just 100 individuals to more than an estimated 200 million by 1970, end quote. This article in particular goes on to describe how, in spite of being identified as an invasive species, they are in fact native to Europe, Asia, Africa, northern Australia, and the islands of tropical Pacific. Their numbers are now in a steep decline in spite of their near global spread due specifically to adaptations in their evolutionary genetic makeup that took much less than 100 years. The information on the interweb says that if starlings interrupt, again, a human perception, too much of the human-centric territory around them, they can be hazed and/or driven out, usually with loud sounds and shotgun blasts, the latter meant to scare the birds away, and of course, there would also be a number of birds who are killed by the pellets from the shotgun actually finding an intended target. There was an interesting blog post I found from an individual that I'll put in the podcast links about hazing starlings from wine grape vineyards, and the one line that stands out from it for me is this one, quote, "Birds are much smarter than many folks realize," end quote. He came to notice that the starlings were quick to catch on to his pattern of moving about in the vineyard, and when to come back as they heard or saw his car door shut when he was ready to leave. He also echoed the story of the drug manufacturer, adding that it was thought to be a good idea, at the time, surely, to share all of the birds mentioned by Shakespeare in his plays to the New World. And as far as the murmuration goes, our frenemy, science, should you all forget, I won't hesitate to remind you, started down the path in 1930 of theorizing that because animals like the starling move so well that they, quote, must think collectively, all at the same time, a flash out of so many brains, ornithologist Edmund Cellius wrote in his book, Thought Transference or What in Birds. And naturally, science coming after decided that this couldn't possibly be true, because who would believe that the most simple answer would also be the correct one? And so they changed it to, quote, rapid transmission of local behavioral response to neighbors, whether that's in starlings or fish, apparently as in schools of fish, that move in much the same way, i.e. collectively. Not to be confused with another much more simple theory of telepathic communication, as our friend Edmund wrote about, happening all at once. And with this proposed theory slash explanation by science, I must vehemently disagree. What a surprise. It's simply illogical that absent a shared collective awareness slash shared thought happening, the rapidly changing flight pattern is simply unbelievable. In 2013, science came up with a magic number 7, with which I don't disagree, and more on that in just a minute, that they said is the number of birds keeping track of each other. So, according to science, their belief is 7 birds keep track of 7 other birds, and because they're actually touching each other all of the time, that's how their movement rapidly spreads, so to speak. To quote from the article in the link, quote, though it looks coordinated on a large scale, the individual birds are concerned with only 3 aspects of their flight and the flight of those around them. Those factors have been described in several ways, but they're all very similar, and here they are. Here's what science believes. Underlined, bold, italicized, huge-size font from science, here's what they believe. That there is an attraction zone, which means in this area, you're going to move toward the next guy. There is a repulsion zone, which means you don't fly into his lane, otherwise you'll both fall. And there's the third one, the angular alignment. So you kind of got to follow his, a bird's neighbor, direction. So depending upon how you change those 3 parameters, you can get everything from those barrel-looking baseballs that you get in ocean fish to loose-looking insect swarms to highly, highly organized fish swarms and murmurations, all in those 3 little parameters. The article goes on to say, Scientists, the magic word, believe these birds flock in the first place to confuse and discourage predators through their sheer numbers and with the noise that such a flock makes and, of course, its motion. Some communication between birds may be happening too in murmurations, say, pointing out good food sources, while some researchers believe simply keeping warm may be another reason for murmurations. What may be most stunning to mere mortals, the article goes on to say, is that these birds react so quickly and do so in such synchronization, if not immediately, within a couple of flaps of a bird wing. They move almost as one in a kind of lockstep, or they're doing pun intended, or as it were, in lock flap. How? Science believes birds have a much higher temporal resolution than we do, meaning that birds can take in certain information around them and process it much more quickly in humans. They see much faster than we do, end quote. And you know, maybe I'm just a quibbler by nature. As I said before, I'm a natural skeptic. It does seem that this last statement about birds processing information much more quickly than humans do is saying the same thing as what science freely admits is, again, a belief, capital B, in this article, which is what we've had for so very long in this human experience structure, a belief system centered around our species, about how other species interact with this planet. It's a belief. And to quote Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who wrote The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, that's your trivia clue for the day, quote, "You do not believe what you believe. You only believe that you believe." Animals, and most certainly starling, would say that direct experience based on a physical form that is, for all intents and purposes, the same, absent any belief system, is the way to go on Earth, which is how the 7.77 million other species roll, all except for humans. Oh, and that number seven, here's a little bit of another history for you, history trivia. It's responsible for the designation of 7 days in a week. It is the only prime number preceded by a cube, that being six. It was considered by the ancients to be the union of the physical, that being four, with the spiritual number of three. And so I'm wondering whether science knows the history of the number seven, admittedly by human interpretation, and how they might explain that starling just happened to come up with the number seven themselves and how they fly in a murmuration. Come on, science. We need y'all to get on board, the animals would say, and evolve beyond belief systems. So much more awaits that we can share together. Let's get back to the message from starling today of listen. The other side of the invasive nature of starling, again, courtesy of humans, is that their mimicry can be heard in states in the U.S. of birds that are not native to those states, which is crazy to think about, meaning that starling travel from state to state, they pick up the vocalizations of the native species in that state, and then they travel to another state where unsuspecting earthlings of all species think to themselves, wait, what? Was that a wood thrush that I heard? Knowing that logically there aren't any wood thrush native to that area. Starling is listed fourth on a list of 17 species and ahead of gray parrots for their ability to mimic. And not only birds thought to be prey for other birds, they are also accomplished mimics of red-tailed hawks, a known predator to these other birds thought to be prey. So that when those birds hear the mimicked red-tailed hawk, it might cause them to fly away from their nest in order to protect themselves, leaving the nest relatively vacant for the starlings to occupy. Yes, those birds are, to quote again, much smarter than folks realize. And even though as humans we perhaps enjoy a good human mimic who specializes in impersonations of other humans, there might be a part of us that feel kind of taken in, as in fooled by starling and other animal mimics. Because we're not in the loop, so to speak, pun intended, says starling. They go on to say, quote, "You pride yourself so much on your spoken language and your ability to discern what is authentic from that which is not, because what's at stake then is being made a fool. So much so that when that happens, although there might be a feeling of awe, as in A-W-E, there is also, Chek's wheel of emotions, a feeling of subliminal terror in that your body part referred to as your ears is deceiving you. And because you rely so heavily on your external senses and not your internal ones, very little if at all, that you feel instantly compromised and in a way unprotected. Do you see the extent to which you depend upon this body of yours to give you information and how little you give back in the way of gratitude? This is part of our message of listen, and yet there are so many facets to it, yet less than in the number of the other species that we may mimic for our benefit alone. I would add at this point as their ambassador that their energy feels light and free, and yet as dense as it can be seen in the murmuration when starling collectively come together, as if for protection, and in this case for emphasis on the message for us. They go on to say, one needn't go too far back in our history to see that representatives, we can hardly call them ambassadors in the true meaning of the word, seeking to understand, and certainly maybe another word comes to mind, imposters, perhaps because we have more compassion for the rest of you than to call them representatives of your species. Those imposters sought to choose not only for themselves as a minority of lovers of Shakespeare, but for ourselves as well, who were perfectly happy not claiming the United States as one of our own native locations. And yes, all are known to us as we are, in fact, aware very much so of our numbers collectively. So much for science. A rather haughty sniff accompanies this last comment, by the way. They go on. Do you see how an act not in balance and without a listening by the whole of your species to the whole of our species, for one cannot possibly accuse starling of not listening and listening very well, has actually caused our too rapid evolution genetically? And while you may see us as an invasive species, the fact remains our genetic adaptability based on our inherent need for survival has caused our numbers to dramatically decline. You fail to listen not only to your own bodies and that wisdom, instead creating false bodies of wisdom based on beliefs that, what a surprise, happen to be rooted in the very union of earth and spirituality. Certainly it is one thing to listen and another to understand, yet inherent in the listening is not just with the ears, but also with the heart. And in this case, the human species, we will assert, is relegated to have the most significant impact of any species on the planet. Because as you continue to refuse to listen to each other, it is abundantly clear that this was born from your original lack of ability to listen and furthermore understand the wisdom offered as a whole by Earth herself, as much as she is your mother. And we all know how listening to your mother is made a mockery of within your species. Not so within ours and all other animal species, because as much as we revere the earth and all she has to offer, the one lesson deeper than all the others combined is her exhortation that we listen to each other. In this way, we learn balance and partnership through unity. As much as you claim that this is an either-or planet, you're missing the whole point. Simply because you choose not to listen and listen with your whole collective heart, capital H. Time and again, our ambassador has replied, when asked what do the animals need from us, that simply to join us in our place of energy, your actual natural resting place, should you choose to listen to your own heart and follow its song. And at least, this is how starling sees it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service and to schedule online via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices of upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy and online psychic fairs. Tune in 2 weeks' time, where we'll chat about the four Fs of the sympathetic nervous system plus one: fight, flight, freeze, faint, and forward. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.